First Samuel chapter 2, verse number 12.
The Bible reads, "Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord." God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this hour that you have allowed us to come to study your word. Now, dear God, we ask your trust blessings on this word, that as it goes forth, that it will fall on good ground, that it will germinate much fruit. Bless your servant, dear God. Use me as you see fit. Hide me behind the cross, that men might see less of me and more of thee. And we'll give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to talk to you from the subject this morning, a generation that know not God. You know, and it's obvious because we see a generation today that seems to do any and everything. And you know, that's what a person will do when he does not know the Lord, any and everything. And that's dangerous. That's a very dangerous person that will do any and everything. You have to fear a person that will do any and everything, because you never know what they're going to do, when they're going to do it. Amen. That's the very reason that a lot of times, can I get a little more? A little more preaching this morning? That's a fear that a lot of that's a fear that a lot of adults have with young people today, because of the fact that we don't know what's going to cause them to spark, blow up, or go off. Amen. A lot of them are just like walking time bombs. And it's written all over their face. They look sad. They look miserable. They look as if anything will cause them to go off. And the reason that a person lives like that and acts like that is because they don't know God. They don't know God. When a person don't know the Lord, he will do any and everything. You got to watch out for people like that, because you never know what's on their mind. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. You got some little nieces or nephews or some people, young people that live in your neighborhood, or maybe even go to the school where you teach, that you literally live in fear of them because you don't know when they're going to snap, what they're going to do, and when they're going to do it. And the problem is, they don't know God. That's a very dangerous person that does not know God. Here in our text this morning, we find the two sons of Eli the priest being acknowledged as boys are men that don't know God. Now, what makes that situation so sad is that Eli is their father. And you know who Eli is, don't you? Eli is the priest. Buckle your seatbelts up. It's going to get a little rough. The priest, the preacher, the man of God has raised children that don't know God. Amen. He didn't raise them in the streets. He didn't raise them in the club. He raised them in the temple.
Yeah.
about it, they were so embedded in the place where God was, they lived in the temple. And being the sons of the priest, now full grown men that don't know God. What happened? How is it that you can bring your children to church and still they don't know God? Amen. And a lot of times, most of us, many of us, have been guilty of just that. Of bringing children to church and raising them up in the church, and they get to be adults, and where they don't go is to church. Where they don't go is. You make sure they make every youth activity. You made sure that they were there every time the church doors were open, and now they're full grown and they don't go to church. And for the most part, a lot of us was guilty of saying that because we went to church so much that we acknowledged that when I get grown, I ain't going to church. Because when I was a kid, I had to go to Sunday school, and I had to go to morning worship, and I had to go to evening worship, and I had to go to Wednesday night Bible class. I had to go to youth church. When I get grown, where I will not go is the church. And the reason that you had that attitude is because you went to church, but you did not know God. And that's what this text says to us, that it's very possible to come to church every time the doors are open and still not know God. Why is it? What happened? How could this happen? It's right here in our text. In our text this morning, what we come to discover is these two young men, Hophni and Phinehas was their name, that they had no training.
Right.
Let me show you what I'm talking about. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse number 13. Listen to what they did. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. There was a law that when the sacrifice was brought to the priest, a sin sacrifice by men, that the sacrifice was to be boiled. The sacrifice was boiled, the fat was boiled off the sacrifice, and at the right time, the priest would take the flesh hood, stick it in the sacrifice, take the sacrifice out of the boiling water, put it on the altar to sacrifice to God. This was law. This was how the process was to go forward. And the problem that these young men had is that they had no respect for what belonged to God. They had no training. And y'all, it's very, very important. Y'all don't take it for granted when Proverbs says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That doesn't mean just bring your children to church. That means train them. And the very problem that a lot of our young people lack today is training. Amen. A lot of young people lack training. Training requires you to talk, to tell them something, to show them something. And the reason they can't do nothing, because they haven't been trained. Amen. When we were growing up, we had what was called chores.
Right, right.
We had that. And what chores did, though we didn't like it, it served as a method of training. My mother cleaned houses. And because she cleaned, she expected us to clean. In other words, she didn't clean somebody else's house and come home and clean her house too. She didn't do that. She didn't do that. She didn't do that. At a certain age, she expected us to clean her house. If she cleaned somebody else's house. Amen. Amen. And so what she would do is she would designate the three of us responsibilities or chores that had to be done every day. Amen. It had to be. It had to be. It had to be. It better be. It had to be done every day. When she got home, it better be done. Amen. There were chores that had to be done every day. Every day, every day. And what she was literally doing, she was training us how to keep a clean house. And let me tell you something. If you've ever been trained to keep a clean house, it's hard to live with a dirty person. Oh, y'all, come here, you military people. Y'all that have learned, have been taught how to keep stuff straight, stuff thinking. If you've been in the military, you've had some training. You've had to learn how to do some stuff. And it's hard to be around folk that don't keep clean. If you clean. And it came from training. I'm trying to help somebody. What you need to understand that if you expect your children to know God, you got to train them. You got to train them. It was hard then, but I didn't realize, Mom, why I got to wash clothes and why I got to wash dishes and why I got to clean up. I've always heard that was the woman's job. Not what I said, that's what I thought. Come on. That's a woman's job. But what she wanted me to understand is just in case you don't get a wife, you know how to wash your own clothes and you know how to wash. That's true. Y'all, the problem is they don't know how to do nothing because we don't train them. We expect our young people to get everything from the church. Amen. Amen. Because that's what we say. We bring them to church. Bring them to church. But the problem that these two young men, they had no home. Home training. And see, the thing about home training is when you don't have no home training, you don't know how to act when you get away from home. Amen. Amen. That's why we hear young people doing any and everything because they don't know how to act. Amen. Training See, come on, y'all. These people that are on TV, that are in the movies, they don't get good doing what they do just because all of them have a God-given talent. They had to go through training. They had to go through training. And it's very important that we as parents, we train. Men, we need some men. Amen. That are willing to train these young men.
Amen.
It's sad that a full grown man can't change a tire.
Right.
You ain't got to say amen. I know you're out there. You can't change a tire on the car. And it's not your fault. It's because you have not been. You have not been trained. Girls can't cook. Hey, amen. Girls can't. That's why everything is done instantly. It ain't because you work so hard. It's simply because you have not been trained. Amen. Everything doesn't just come natural. And the reason that we raised a generation of misfits is because we fail to train. Training takes time. And y'all, we can't blame the church for that. It's some things that need to take place at home. Eli brought them to church. Fact about it, they lived in the tabernacle, but even though they were reared right there, they had no training. And you know what happens when a young person haven't been trained? To respect, they disrespect.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You want to know why they're so disrespectful? Because they have not been trained how to respect.
Yes, amen.
Y'all, it's some things that I was trained as a child that I still do today. I can remember at church as a little boy, and when women would sisters of women would come up and shake our hands, the older men said, "Stand up."
All right, all right.
Because you didn't shake a woman's hand sitting down, you stood up. And today I find myself greeting women standing up. Why? Because that's the way I was. And the problem that our young people have today, they don't respect nobody because they have not been. They've been trained. And what's so sad is these young men were the priest's son and they were not trained to respect God. Y'all, the sacrifice belonged to God. The sacrifice belonged to God. And then anybody's stuff you don't want to mess with. You don't want to mess with God's stuff. And here they were taking what belonged to God. They was taking the sacrifice that belonged to God for themselves. They were taking a sacrifice that belongs to God. They were taking it out of the boiling hot water. But y'all, to make matters worse, not only did they not respect God, but they didn't even respect themselves. And that's the thing about it. When you don't respect God, you won't respect nobody. Next, the text says they wanted raw meat. They lied tried and said they wanted to roast it, but they didn't want it boiled as they were trained to do it. They were asking that the men brought the sacrifice wrong.
Eating it wrong. People have been eating raw meat a long time now. That's what they were doing when they were taking, they were eating, first of all, what belonged to God, but then they weren't even eating it right. They were eating it wrong.
That which can hurt yourself, when you don't respect God, you won't even respect yourself.
Amen.
They weren't trained to even take care of them.
Hygiene used to be a part of training. Amen. Women used to teach young girls hygiene. Amen. How to take care of themselves. Young men, how to take care of themselves. And the problem we have with such young, do you not realize that we got young kids dying of heart attacks today, dying of diabetes today, dying of cancer today, things that we've never heard of. And the very reason is they're not, don't take care of themselves. There used to be a time that just old folk died. Every now and then you hear of a young person. Every now and then you hear of a baby dying at birth. But it used to be just old. You had to get old. At least over 50 before you died. But now, 20, 30 years old, dying of in and everything. And it's simply because they haven't been trained. Let me tell you something about training. When you've been trained, you look to do what's right and what's best. See, the thing about it, we didn't understand it back then when Big Mama and Mama and them was putting it in us. But when we were young, they used to make us eat vegetables. I said they used to make us. You didn't want to eat it. You ate it because that's all you had to eat. You didn't have no other choice. You ate squash. You ate greens. You ate beans. You ate lima beans, pinto beans. Didn't have to have no meat with it either because that's how you were trained. What they were doing, they were training us to take care of ourselves. We didn't get that. And what we've done is we've allowed our children to take care of themselves. Because everything they eat, they put in a microwave. And guess what? That's not healthy. Buckle up. It might get a little rougher. It ain't their fault, y'all. It's not the youth fault that we raised a generation that know not God. It's Eli was the preacher. These are the PKs, the preacher's kid that were raised in the temple that knew not God. And they didn't know him. Because they had no training. They had no training, but then also they did not know God according to the text because they had no discipline. They had no, look here, it's right here in the text, drop down to verse number 22. 1 Samuel 2, verse number 22. Look at what they did. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel
and how they lay with the women who assemble at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. When you don't respect God, you'll do anything. You'll do anything. Not only did they disrespect the sacrifice of God, but they disrespected the servants of God.
Yes, sir.
Well. These women were coming to church. Mm-hmm. And these boys couldn't control themselves. Mm-hmm. And when you don't know God, you're out of control.
Amen.
You're out of control when you don't know God. Why? Because there are some things that happen to us that sometimes we can't control. Oh, y'all, come on in here. I know some of us have had to pray and ask God to take it away because it was out of control.
Right.
It was out of control. It was out of control. They had no control. They had no discipline. Let me tell you something. Y'all, no is still good to say.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Every now and then, you need to say no. Because if you give a kid everything he asks for, sooner or later, he's going to be out of control. Gonna be out of control. And no, it's not a part of his vocabulary. Fact about it, he does not know what that means. Why? Because I get whatever I want. And I bet if I were to have an interview today with some of your children, they tell me my mama and daddy get me whatever I want.
Right.
And I stop to tell you, if you're guilty, you're causing them to be driven out of control. They got to hear no. And when you say no, you got to mean no. Amen. Come on, y'all. We all been guilty of saying no, but when that and y'all, we started early with them.
Right.
When the babies, and we tell them to leave that alone, and a few minutes later, they right back in it. And other than us showing them discipline, we let them have, y'all, just let them be that. Keep them quiet. Just let them. You can't let a child have whatever he needs to keep him quiet. He doesn't know what to keep him quiet. Because some things will drive him out of control. Look at this, y'all. These boys could have went down to the red light district. If that's what they were looking for, you don't mess with the women in the church. You don't disrespect the house of God. And what you'll discover here in the text is that Eli has been told what his boys are doing, and he does absolutely, positively nothing. And guess what happens when you don't do nothing? They keep on doing it. They keep on doing it. They had no training. They had no discipline. Y'all, if I don't know what's going on inside of me, how can I control it? What are you saying? Y'all, we need to spend more time talking to our children. That table talk worked.
Yes. Yes.
You
remember when everybody used to have to sit at the table? You didn't have no electronic devices to distract you. All y'all did was tap that plate and talk. It worked. It worked. Because when the family could sit around the table, they could hear what was going on. Y'all know it ain't like that today. You eat here, they eat there, and somebody else eat over there. I'm trying to help somebody today. They had no discipline. God told Eli, "Eli, your boys are messing up. I mean, you know, God just gonna take." These were full grown men. And they didn't get this disrespectful overnight. This happened over time. And what I've come to discover that these young people didn't get this bad overnight. Amen. And it's our fault. It's our fault. Because we the ones that said, "I ain't gonna do my kids like mama made me do." I told you to buckle up, it was gonna get a little rough. We the ones said, "I ain't gonna be so strict on my kids like daddy was strict on me." We said that and we did it. And now we've raised a generation that know not God. I'm talking about us. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about us. This was Eli. He was the priest. He lived in the tabernacle. If anybody knew God, Eli did, but his sons didn't. I'm almost done, y'all. Y'all get antsy. And I know some of y'all ready to go right about now. They disrespected the servants of God by sleeping with the women that was coming to church. Amen. And all Eli was saying, "Boy, stop that. Boy, stop that. Girl, you better stop that." What that mean? That mean? Stop that, didn't work with you. It wasn't there, you was hit up. Some of us went flying over coffee tables. Some of us had coffee tables flying over us. But it wasn't till stuff started flying that we learned, stop that mean, stop. Just to say quit didn't mean nothing. It was. We wouldn't have never quit if we had not got hit. Amen. Bible talk about hitting them. Hit them. You got hit. Hit him! Hit him! Because see, when you start hitting them young, you don't have to hit them as hard when they get old, because they'll remember that night they got upside to hit them! It was because we got hit, we stopped them. I'll never do it again. That whooping you'll never forget. Is some things we'll never, ever do again. Why? Because we got hit. But it was those things that you got away with that you got a problem with today. Somebody say amen. It's what we got away with that we still got problems
All he said was, "Boy, y'all better stop that." What? What that mean? That's what you always said. What's gonna happen? Nothing. They had a problem with training. They had a problem with discipline. And ultimately, it brought about death. Because when you keep raising children that know not God, sooner or later, they're going to die.
That's right.
They're going to die. They're going to die. When you read the text, what you'll discover is finally God got enough.
Yes.
I mean, you didn't want to go to the cemetery, but you knew, based on the direction in which he was going, you were either going to go to the prison or to the cemetery. And I know. We don't like to blame ourselves. I know it can get a little touchy. But the truth is, this was the preacher's kids. This was the preacher's kids that lived in the temple that didn't know God. And finally God said, enough. And I mean, come on, y'all, think about it. Anybody get tired of stuff after it happened so long? I mean, it might have caused you to get a big knot upside your head, but sooner or later you had sense enough to get up out of there. God said, enough. And as Daddy was trying to explain to them that you can't do this to God. You can't do God wrong by God, because who gonna judge you if you do wrong by God? And God had already decided he was gonna kill them, so they couldn't even hear it.
That's right.
Because even God will take so much of our stuff. I mean, y'all, that's Bible. You do remember Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you? God took so much. Y'all, we'll push God to his limit. Amen. And God finally says, I cut you off. And y'all, the worst position to be in is to be cut off from God. Y'all, that's what death is. When you're dead, you are separated from God. Oh, don't miss this, y'all. This is a good preaching point right here. When you're dead, you're separated from God. Y'all, that's why we're born again, so that we can have life. Because when we come out of the liquid grave of baptism, we receive eternal life, and then we'll never die again. Y'all, don't worry about the grave, because when you have eternal life, you can't die. You can never be absent from the body. It's present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Even when I lay this body down and y'all look at me as dead, I've been born again. I live in Jesus and I'll never die.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. When God pronounced you as dead, he cut you off. Amen.
Amen.
And the worst position to be in is cut off from God. That's what hell is going to be about.
Amen.
If you die and go to hell, you're cut off. And you'll never regain that relationship with God. That's why today you need to decide you want to live in Christ. Amen. Because once you are resurrected by Christ and you start living in Christ, Jesus told Martha, if you believe in me, you'll never die.
Right.
Y'all, I believe that's what all of us want. We want eternal life. Who don't want to live forever? We all want eternal life. And Jesus says, I am the way. You want to get it? You get it by me. You get it through Jesus. So that's my question today. Do you want to live forever or do you want to die? It ain't hard to die. Just keep on doing what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do. And sooner or later, he'll cut you off. Amen. A generation that know not God. Y'all can see it. I can see it. I can see it. Y'all, we have young people that would do any and everything. They don't fear nobody. And man, when you was growing up, you wouldn't even think about putting a gun on a police. BB gun or no other gun on a police. Are you crazy? That's what that is. That's absolutely, positively crazy. They didn't need metal detectors at school because even if you took a knife to school, you hid it on the outside of the school waiting to catch up with the person you want to poke with it after school, not in school. We were bad, but we weren't that bad. We weren't that bad because we had some training and discipline. And I believe that's what's missing with our young people today. It's training and discipline. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Training. Training and discipline. Y'all, we need to do a better job at it. We need to do a better job at it. Because y'all, let the truth be told, most of us have failed at it. Because most of our kids don't go to church and most of our grandkids don't go to church. And we raise our kids up in church, but they came to church and they still don't know God. But y'all, it ain't too late. It ain't too late. It ain't too late. You might not can teach an old dog new tricks, but you ought to be able to tell your child something. Amen. I mean, if they're fully grown, you are, and don't be able to just tell them something, tell them something. You know your child fully grown is headed in the wrong direction. Hey, man, get it together. You got kids looking at you, and they're going to end up going in the same direction you're going in. Tell your grown kid that your kids. Tell your daughter, leave him alone. He ain't no good. He don't work. Tell your daughter that he does not work. Three kids, three baby mamas. Guess what's going to happen to you? You see she's headed in the right, wrong direction. Tell your boys, man, that ain't the one. See, it was bad, it looked bad, but it was a time that you used to have to bring yours home. So mom and daddy could meet him, and that sound bad, it looked bad, but it wasn't bad. They knew the good people in town, and they knew the bad people in town. And they just wanted to make sure you didn't get hitched up with a bad seed, because a bad seed will produce bad fruit. You want to know why your kid's bad? Amen. Amen. But it's okay because we serve a God who can make bad good. I said, God can make bad good. He says, just bring it to me. Just bring it to me. Just bring it to me. And that's what you need to do today. It ain't too late. Take them to him. Take him to him in prayer. Take it to him in prayer. You know that your kids, they're going in the wrong direction. Pray. Amen. Pray. Amen. Pray. Pray until something happens. Amen.
pray. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. There's still hope in Jesus. You messed up, but don't give up. You messed up. I mean, come on, y'all. Fess up. We got some bad kids. Because they know not God. They know not God. They know to come to church. And they know when I get up, we're going to church.
Right.
But the only thing about it, church is just at Mountain View.
Right.
Oh, you're meddling now, preacher. They don't know God because they don't know church at home.
Right.
They just know church at Mountain View.
Mercy.
I'm trying to be done, y'all, but somebody need this morning. Because we have a generation that know not God, and he's going to cut them off. They're going to die. They're going to die. They're going to die if we don't bring them back to Jesus. That's my message this morning. Let me quit. Y'all, this is a passion of mine. Is that we get our young people back in the church. We get our young people connected to God. Because y'all, if they continue to stay lost, what's going to happen to the generation that comes after them? If our kids don't know the Lord, what's going to happen to our grandkids?
Right. Amen.
And sooner or later, God is going to get enough of all of this disrespect and all of this doing your own thing, and he's going to cut you off. And we don't want to be the blame. We don't want to be the blame. You did the best you could with what you had to work with. And you tried and you tried and you tried. And that's good that you tried. But right now, the damage is done. Don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give up. Because you do know, we would not have come back to the Lord had somebody not prayed for. Amen. We were out there ourselves. But somebody was in there praying, calling our name.